One of my favorite stories of yours is the Darth Vader and the Death Star cafeteria. And when I
Yeah.
mentioned on Facebook today I'd be talking to you, a litany of my friends came on with their comments as to their favorites. When you come to a new city, do you do sort of a greatest hits, or is this going to be all new material?
It'll be all new. On the Death Star Canteen, in force majeure, I do the sequel to Death Star Canteen. So that is a curious thing that I have done all around the world. But it is the same show. This is my latest film. So like a film, if you had another film going around the world, it would be the same film if it was showing in Moscow or in Iowa or in the Hollywood Bowl or in Iceland. So that's how I roll. I will ad lib, but I don't completely rewrite the show. Otherwise, I'd be spending all my time just rewriting and sort of chasing my tail. I'm learning languages. I'm doing gigs in other languages, so I feel I've got my work cut out. So it's the same show that what New York sees and Berlin sees and Istanbul sees and Moscow sees.
You've just mentioned one leg of this tour. You've gotten a lot of press lately for having done shows in English, French, and German. I mean, certainly there have got to be nuances or words or phrases that work well in one language but not in another. I mean, that's got to be a huge challenge. And is it kind of to show we're all the same despite our differences? Or talk a little about why you did this.
No, we all are all the same. It is part of there is an underlying political thing. I am very positive on the European Union. What we're trying to do in the European Union is learn to work together in some shape or form. And then the logic is that all continents should learn to work together in some shape or form. And then all continents learn together to work together in some shape or form. And then we have a whole world where everyone has a fair chance. And if no one's thinking in this way, because individual politicians, even leaders of countries, they have to think country-centric. You can't have the president of America or the president of Britain saying too much that, hey, yes, we want everyone in the world working together, because they'll say, well, what about our country? We elected you. We want our country sorted out. So that's the problem with it. But if no one's thinking about how the whole world's going to knit together, we're just going to blow ourselves up. So in the spirit of positivity, I thought I could do my gigs in French, and then I'll do them in German. And now I'm touring in France in French and touring in Germany in German. I've just started Spanish, and then I'll be able to tour Spain and the whole of South America, Central America, and the Caribbean, then Russian, and then Arabic coming after that. So I like using, you have one life, let's use it to the full is my idea.
Well, here in Des Moines, despite our name being French, we're fine with you just doing English. If that's cool with you.
I will absolutely doing English. There will only be one little bit that comes out that's in German. Everyone's laughing at it, and I do it in German, and everyone gets it. It's really weird. I did it in Cleveland and in Chicago. They're laughing at it every night. It's about Martin Luther, because he wrote 95 theses, and he nailed them to the door of a church, complaining about the Catholic faith being too much into cash and money. And so I just have him nailing up these theses one by one, Nummer eins, Nummer zwei, Nummer drei, and it goes up. And then a big wind comes and starts blowing his feces all around and going, oh no, where is six? Where is six? So they seem to get it. It's kind of weird. It's kind of basic German, really, but it's kind of fun to have that going through the middle of America and people laughing at a scene in German.
This will be your first time in both Iowa and Nebraska, is that right?
I believe so. I do believe so, yes.
I mean, do you know much about our little states here in the Midwest? Is there anything special that you plan to do while you're here in your downtime?
I'm not sure what, because we might be zooming in and zooming out. So I know a lot about the history of America. I know a lot about the Revolutionary War and a lot about the Civil War. I must say that I might be slightly lacking in specific histories on specific states and cities. But I have this historical facts competition which goes out ahead of me. I'm asking people in the cities I'm playing to send in your historical facts so I can learn from people's knowledge of weird and wonderful facts about places, because I find history is great. You can learn your future from studying our past. So that's how I do it.
I interviewed Colin Mochrie a few years ago, and he said the excitement of improv for him is knowing that there are thousands of people beyond the curtain waiting for a show, and he has no script whatsoever. He said that essentially his prep is having donuts and coffee. Do you put much prep before a show, or how much have you scripted in your
No.
mind?
For my stand-up, I do know the motorway journey, the freeway journey that I am on, and I will ad-lib to an extent. The most I've ad-libbed in any show is about half an hour out of a two-hour show, but the group improv shows are completely unscripted, and because you've got other people with you, and you've got games and certain structures that you can fall back on. That's what that is. But I love doing that. I totally agree with him on that. That before you're doing, I wouldn't do the donuts though. I just avoid the donuts. But it is. I have a blank mind before you go on, because you can get scared. I mean, going on and stand up, there's no safety net. There's no one else gonna. Oh, you've lost your time. Someone else will come on now and do some other stuff, which you can do in group improv. But in stand up, it's just you. So I try and avoid panicking by just being relaxed before a show. You don't overthink it. If you overthink it, you will muck it up. A bit like driving in a car. Some bad things can happen. You know, car crashes and things can happen. But you don't get into a car with a. Most people just get in the car. They don't go through, okay, let's try not to hit the lamppost. You know, you just try and get in and get on with it.
Off the stage, back in 2009, you did a remarkable 43 marathons over 51 days for charity. Will you be doing any running here in Iowa and Nebraska, or is that was that a temporary hobby for you?
Oh, no. I train all the time. I tour with a trainer on the tour bus. And, yes, I will be either running or playing football slash soccer, as we call it. And, so training, running, those are my big things. Or I'm going towards triathlons now as well. So I like to keep it. I've cut out refined sugar. It is a big thing, which I encourage people to do. Refined sugar is the poison of our world, it seems. It's great as a little bit, but too much of it, and it's a poison. And we hit too much of it instantly. It's so addictive.
That's all I have for you, sir. I appreciate you taking time out. We're sure looking forward to seeing you. And, hey, I want to hear the Return of the Jedi version, then, of the Darth Vader in the cafeteria.
Yes, well, it's actually God coming down and goes to the cafeteria. to get spaghetti carbonara. But then the lady behind the desk says, no, that's safe for Lord Vader, who turns up, and they fight. And then Mr. Stevens, head of catering, comes down to sort it all out.